Welcome to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Ready for the power play?
You're listening to The Hockey Show
on ESPN Chicago.
There's just no way you can put it into words what this is. We're a part of the best organization in sports in the world. And we play for the best fans in the world.
You guys have stuck with us every step of the way.
This shows you how special this city is.
Receiver hand, but he had the tape from the shark line down the clutch. He scored! First goal, his first shot in the National Hockey League!
Got the tape, moving in.
What a ball!
Career game 999. Here he comes! Ho, ho, ho. Stolen by Taves! Short-handed breakaway in OT for the win. He shoots! He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
Next chapter of the Chicago Blackhawks. Number 19, Jonathan Taves.
The game off circle for the win from the Taves. He scores! The captain!
We all grew up dreaming of winning the Stanley Cup, but to do it on home ice and in front of you guys, in front of our fans, and to share this with you guys, the best fans in the world, it doesn't get any better than this.
The end of an era. Jonathan Taves plays his final game for the Blackhawks on Thursday night. Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to the season finale of The Hockey Show with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. We are sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. So, Chief, the Hawks season comes to an end on Thursday night, and the end of the Stanley Cup era as we know it here in Chicago, those
three
cups.
The golden era. I mean, it was, you know, I remember when they drafted Taves and, you know, he had already played a year at North Dakota and you're like, this guy looks like he's going to be incredible. And then they get Kane right behind it. And you like hoped that things would turn around here because it had been pretty bleak and they delivered beyond anyone's wildest imagination. Those teams were so fun. They were perfect. They were entertaining. They were tough. They were young and fun. And it was better than anything, and it makes sense as why they inspired an entire generation. There's so much more like youth hockey participation here than ever before because those guys and those teams were so fun and they were perfect. They were perfect to revitalize a dead franchise, and it was great.
He was
at the center of it.
Fantastic career and run for Jonathan Taves. It started on Thursday morning with the announcement by Kyle Davidson that he would not be re-signing Taves this summer. Taves was told about it a week ago in Seattle. What did you think about the way Kyle and the Hawks handled that part of this process?
Yeah, I'm glad he got a send-off because, you know, I was in the building when Sharpie got it. And
which was a pretty, you know, the only other three-time cup winner to get a send-off that was Sharpie.
Yeah, because we didn't know about, like, we had an inkling about Kane, that Vegas game and the Toronto one before it. But, like, yeah, it wasn't the same at all. But, yeah, it was very similar to the Sharpie one. So I'm glad he got that. It's just one of those things where it's like, I do think that the timing of it is a little, I don't know. It feels like something if you're Kyle Davidson or the brass and you know that when the contracts end, maybe you tell them like, hey, this is the last year. And in exit interviews at the end of 22, you bring that up and see how they feel. And if they want to play out their contract, then so be it because they had those no movement clauses. But, you know, that was the thing that spurred Kane to move to agree to the trades because there wasn't going to be an offer coming. So one of those things where it's like if you're fully committed to the rebuild and it just feels like there should have been more open lines of communication about the plans with those two guys all along. But other than that, I think it was handled well, and he got the send-off that he deserved. He kept saying, like, I don't deserve this. Hey, man, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You
earned every bit of that.
Yeah, so, and more. Like, I hope, you know, like, he gets a hosted-type celebration and
number in the rafters.
And statue. Like, those three, they had seven great ones, obviously, that won the three cups. But Taves, Kane, and Keith are... They're Hall of Famers, and they should be immortalized there forever.
Here's the captain on what it was like for him to be told by the Hawks that they were not going to offer him a contract.
Yeah, I think in my heart, before I had the conversation with Kyle, I knew that for myself personally, whatever happens this summer, it's time. And, you know, when Kyle called me into the room and we're on the road last week and came out with it right away, I caught me by surprise because I didn't know what he wanted to talk about, but once I kind of took a deep breath and let it sink in, you know, I realized it's just what it is, and there's absolutely no hard feelings. I have nothing but love and gratitude for the Blackhawks and Rocky Wirtz and the Blackhawks family, everyone over the years that have been a part of that. You can't ask for more than that, and you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. It's a business where you want to win games and you want to go out there and entertain the fans and chase Stanley Cups. And I think it's exciting for me to, at the same time, not know what's really around the corner for me personally. But at the same time, like I said, it's a new start for the Blackhawks. And kind of as I mentioned a second ago, I think for me, that night tonight kind of closes the chapter for not only myself, but guys like Kaner who weren't able to be here to enjoy that and feel that appreciation, that love from the fans. And, you know, going down the list, Dunk, Siebes, Sharpie, Crow, Sauter, Host, Hammer, I can mention so many names, guys that were unsung heroes in a lot of ways that were part of those special groups that won championships, and hope they all can feel that appreciation as well. So I think, like I said, it's that end of those times, and new beginnings coming around the corner. So it'll be exciting to see.
It's been a rough few years for Jonathan health-wise. You know, you go back to COVID. He's dealing with the long COVID, the chronic immune response syndrome. I don't know if there's necessarily a roadmap for his recovery, which makes it even more difficult to figure out the timeline and whether or not he will continue his hockey career. But to me, he seemed like a guy who was at peace the other night.
Yeah.
He looked like a burden was taken off his shoulder. I think, honestly, the Hawks making this decision and making it public when they did was good for him because it took part of the decision away from him.
Yeah.
And I think he was relieved.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm glad he – and we talked about this weeks ago when he wasn't back yet. It's like, man, I really hope he can come back to get exactly what he got.
Right.
Like, that was, to me, like, he got the goal. It was essentially a perfect send-off. And it's like, kind of, you know, appropriate that it was the Flyers, too. You know, it beat them for the first Stanley Cup in a way. You know, like, so you just, the memories just were flooding back. And, yeah, I don't know. You hope he's healthy, but you also wonder, like, how, you know, is this thing a big deal if, and I don't know, if you're a professional athlete or can he live a normal life? Because I feel like he's got an interesting brain. I don't know what's next for him, but I'm very curious. I got a feeling it won't be in hockey necessarily because I feel like he has a wide range of interests. But I'm very curious to see. I would love to have him on a podcast and just talk about aliens or whatever. And because he strikes me as like a very curious and interesting person. So I hope he figures out something else that he can be extremely passionate about post-hockey, whatever, whenever that is.
I thought it was very telling in that soundbite where he said, you know, whatever was going to come about this summer, I knew it was time.
Yeah.
Whether it was time to retire, time to just leave the organization, he had made that decision and felt the time was right for that. And honestly, I think it is the right time.
It feels appropriate. And it's one of those things where it's like you can have two thoughts at the same time where you can be really sad. Like, I am sad that it's over, but I also know that it's time, especially for him. I don't feel that way the same way about 88, as we have documented on this show.
And they're two different, totally different conversations.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane's future with the Blackhawks and Jonathan Toews' future. They are two separate discussions in my book.
I agree. And like, there's the health thing, and there's just how effective one player is versus the other one, and how their games might age. Because the things that, you know, you would think that Kane would have some power play value indefinitely, almost, you know, at least on some level. So, yeah, but it is sad. And it's, you know, that moment where Sharpie was talking to him in between periods, and Sharpie's like, I don't have any more questions. I just want to tell you that he was getting choked up.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my goodness. Like, it's so sad. But it's like, but in a way, it's like, all right, like, now it's over. It's really over now. And you had made fun of me about the long, prolonged breakups in the past. And now
you make fun of yourself.
Yeah, well, whatever. I can't remember where that joke came from. But that is that now it feels like, all right, like, we're starting anew with new people and a new face. And hopefully it goes well. But those guys, whoever comes next, like, they are standing on, like, that old cliche, the shoulders of giants, because this market was so dead. Nobody was going. And now they have, like, a built-in fan base that did not exist prior to 2008.
All right, so coming up, the decision to part ways with Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. We're going to hear from Kyle Davidson on why the organization, and he specifically, went in that direction, and we'll get your thoughts on whether you agree with the process that he took there. And we'll also talk about the upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs and where the Blackhawks sit with the third best odds to land Connor Bedard. It's all coming up on the season finale of the Hockey Show. We're sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. It's Hockey Night in Chicago. One last time this regular season tonight. The Wolves taking on the Grand Rapids Griffins. It's First Responders Night. It's pregame touch a truck for the kids. And in the first intermission, Team Carmen against Team Yurko, a grudge match hockey exhibition. So check it out. Hockey Night in Chicago one last time tonight. Chicago Wolves taking on the Grand Rapids Griffins. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Whenever you counted the Hawks out, he would step up in a big moment. Kaner as well, but those numbers are pretty special.
Athanasiou redirected by Toews! Score for the captain!
Jonathan Toews' final goal as a Chicago Blackhawk Thursday night against the hated Philadelphia Flyers. That was from NBC Sports Chicago. Back on the season finale, the most dramatic season finale ever of the Hockey Show with Barstool Chief.
Something like Chris Harrison.
Coming up, the Rose Ceremony.
Yeah.
So Kyle Davidson made the tough decision to part ways with both Kane,
no roses for
and
them.
Toews. No roses for them in the final ceremony. And here is Kyle on why he decided that it was best for this organization to find leadership elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily putting the past behind us. It's more so clearing the deck to some extent to allow the organic growth for young players into leadership roles and offer this new era of Blackhawks player the same opportunity that Toews, Kane, Keith Seabrook, they were all offered when they came into the league. They're, you know, when there's a player like Jonathan or Patrick in your locker room, you defer to them. You just let them handle the leadership, and there's not a lot of development opportunity there. And so there's now, we believe that it was something that's beneficial for this next group to allow leaders to emerge and, you know, form that relationship with Luke, form that relationship with myself in the locker room, be the voice, rather than deferring to someone that's been here for so long, and it gives them an opportunity to step up and be the new leadership group of the franchise.
So Kyle wants leadership for this young team to grow organically and not always defer to Taves or Kane. Do you have an issue with Kyle's approach?
Yeah, I think that's baloney. And if you look, like, historically, Zetterberg and Tatsu came in with Yzerman and all those veterans with the wings. They didn't have a problem becoming leaders with Nick Lidstrom there. Crosby came into a locker room that had Mario Lemieux. I mean, this has been a thing that's happened time and time again. And yes, Taves and Kane came into basically a locker room that was barren outside of, they brought in like John Madden's type guys, right, and Martin Lapointe was there. But they didn't have anything before that. They didn't have the option of learning from an all-time great the way that, you know, a Datsuk and a Zetterberg got to learn from Yzerman and Lidstrom. So, I do think that Kane, I just don't buy that. And I don't think that it's necessarily beneficial or is a detriment to the development and the leadership. And it's the same thing. Like, you're going to, either you're a leader or you're not. And you're a big time player or you're not, and I don't think having Patrick Kane there is going to help, is going to prevent somebody who would have otherwise been a leader become one. And if you look at those teams that were great, you know, Seabrook never wore a letter, but he was the captain. Like, you know, you don't need to have
place. He was the Olin Krutz of the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
he was the unofficial official leader,
right? And you don't need to be and DeBrincat became a leader, and you see, like, guys who are that are cut from that cloth, they will emerge that way, so I don't really believe that, and I really like Davidson. I think Hockey Ops is doing a great job overall so far. I sometimes wish he would say less. I wish that he would have like a Belichick, where he just says, you know, kind of grumbles into the microphone and don't say anything specific, because then...
Wait a minute. You just told me a couple minutes ago, mm-hmm, that if in his heart of hearts he thought he was going to not re-sign Kane and Taves, that you wanted him to tell you that a year ago.
I wanted him to tell 1988 that year ago.
Okay, tell us.
He shouldn't tell me anything. He should not tell me anything. Okay,
and those are words to live by, yeah, Chief. Don't tell Chief anything.
He's doing a great job of that so far, by the way. I think that is
Hockey Ops is doing a great job identifying players. They've done a nice job drafting, and you're doing an exceptional job
of not talking to me. To Chief. Yeah. I'll call Steinmiller again. I do think that he should, in general, just say less, because it doesn't, then you're not trapping yourself in things that you said offhand. You just be like, hey, like, this is for the development, or just like keep it as short and sweet as, but we're on to Cincinnati, you know, and just, just say all those types of things and then just go about your business. And Joel Quenneville was great at that too. Where, like, he was fine. He was, you know, he was.
You're
whatever.
Mr. Emotions.
I'm not in that job.
You are like, you've got me twisted up here.
Well, it's like,
one minute you want people to speak from the heart. Next thing you want them to be Belichick.
No, I want the leadership.
I want the winning like Belichick. Yeah. I don't necessarily want that from the podium, because after all, I have to talk about what they do. Yeah. On post games and pre games,
well, I'd
like them to give me something.
This is how selfless I am.
Oh, thank you.
I think that it would be great for my job if they would say all these things. Okay, I want the team to win. I want the Amen. Team to win and be successful and not get themselves in trouble or have to pull back on their words or whatever. And while for me personally, on a professional level, it is, I think it's better if he says things like this and he gives us quotes to go off of and talk about. But as a fan who just wants to see them be successful and do well, I would just do the, oh, we're on to Cincinnati. It was fine tonight. And then just do that kind of stuff. And I think that's better. And he's under no obligation to say anything. So there's a balance between treating every decision in the organization like it's the nuclear codes. And, you know, getting yourself where you can box yourself in with your own words. And because I think he's got a really good hockey mind. I think Norm, everything you hear about Norm is that he's the right guy to have as a number two. Same thing with Brian Campbell.
They've got an eclectic group in I think that's great.
I do too.
And it's collaborative.
I agree. And that's the other thing they always say.
And the one thing I told you at the beginning, the first thing when I got some intel on Kyle, the person said, he knows what he knows, and what he doesn't, he's not afraid to ask. And right. I love
that's
leaders that
trait.
Are able to do that.
It's a great trait.
So a tip of the cap to Jonathan Toews. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked at peace the other night. I feel like, you know, he was conflicted with the decision that was upon him.
Yep.
I do think his NHL career is probably over. I think that decision will come sometime this summer.
Yeah.
I give it about a 10% chance that he will continue. But where do you stand on it?
Yeah, and you have to look at it from the other 31 teams too, where it's, you know, everybody knows about his health issues. So if you're building a team out and you can't necessarily trust a guy because of some health concerns, like there might just not be a market for him, unfortunately, too. I think that's going to be a factor. And then if he is going to want to play, then it's like I can't imagine he'd want to go to Arizona or someplace like that. He's probably going to want to go play for a team that wants to be competitive. And it's hard to break into teams like
that. He's got a place in Arizona. He may want to play there.
I went to a game there. He doesn't want to play there. You don't want to play there, Johnny.
So the Hawks have the third best odds to land Connor Bedard. So 11.5% chance for the number one overall pick. They have an 11.5% chance to select Adam Fantilli.
Mm-hmm.
A 7.4% chance to get the third overall pick. And then a 41% chance for the fourth. And a 29% chance for the fifth. So basically a 70% chance that they get the fourth or fifth pick overall.
Don't love that.
Don't like that.
Don't
at
love
all.
That. And you know, then like the Michkov scenario becomes a nightmare too, because what if he is the best player, but you don't know exactly when you're going to get him. His contract's up in 26, but he could always just sign another contract in the KHL and just stay there forever.
Yeah,
so then like the linchpin of your rebuild just never comes. That's tough. So whether it's Will Smith or Lucas Carlson or Carlson, whatever. I'm having a bad brain.
Leo
Carlson, yeah. And so I think
you just want the Will Smith memes.
I'm dreading the Will Smith memes. Like, Will, it's going to be the Will Smith in the empty room, but it's just Will Smith, like the player. It's going to be terrible. So anybody but him, please.
Hey, it was a lot of fun doing the show with you this year.
I love doing the show, Pat.
And I hope we can get it an opportunity to do it again next year. I hope there's more winning. And better talent.
I would settle for just better talent. I don't even necessarily want more winning next year, but just give me a little bit of hope for the future.
Look for some Hockey Show podcasts coming your way this summer. That's going to do it for the Hockey Show, the season finale. For Barstool Chief, I'm Pat Boyle. Up next, it's White Sox Weekly with Jeff Miller.